Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we talked about the celebration and the challenge to honour, forgive, encourage, accept and love one another. It was also noted that if we did this, we probably wouldn't need to evangelise because our relationships would do it for us. And I said, you know, I think that is really the dream of Jesus in John 17, the chapter that the church seems to prefer to ignore than to embrace, because it has so much in it that challenges to the very core of the things that we do and the way in which we behave. So today, or for the next couple of weeks or three, we're going to look at some of the things that stop this from happening. So what are the things that stop this from happening? Well, I want to tell one of Brian Hathaway's stories from his book, and it goes like this. My friend Ken had just had a phone conversation, and there had been some tension between him and the couple, but he believed it had been sorted. The conversation went something like this. Hi, this is Ken. How are you? Okay, what do you want? I've rung to say that I met a friend of your wife's recently and she wanted me to pass on her regards to Kathy. We don't need you to pass on anybody's regards. As far as we're concerned, we don't want to hear from you. What's the matter? Started my friend totally taken aback. You know what the matter is? Kathy never wants to see you again. We don't trust you. But I thought Kathy and I had sorted things out. You know that things are not sorted out. You never sort things out. You just take all the time. How your wife ever lived with you, we don't know. You're just a domineering pig, the lowest form of life that we know. And on it went. With hatred, bitterness, forgiveness. No, it wasn't you. Forgiveness, unforgiveness, hurt, all jumbled into one. And it left Ken very shaken, as you can imagine. Now, why tell a story? Because it is a picture of what happens when relationships break down. It is amazing how quickly things can go bad, and then worse emotions and language suddenly spring up. What's the problem? What stops us from achieving God's intention for his people? Now, maybe you don't have any relationship problems. If that's the case, I'm really impressed. And maybe I need to come and sit at your feet and learn. But think about these questions. How did you react when you were right and someone told you you were wrong? Or you were wrong and someone told you you were wrong? Or someone else was wrong and you told them that they were wrong? When someone else got the credit for something that you had done? Your reputation was threatened. And after doing your best helping others, nobody noticed. Now here's a doozy. How easy is it to apologize to strangers, to friends, or your spouse, or your parents, as the case may be? Now, my guess is we have all struggled with some of these things. The source of this is summed up in one word, independence. In fact, that is what sin is, independence from God. This is what lay behind the Adam and Eve story. The desire to be independent from God. Created for interdependence, people choose independence. Created for God-centered, to be God-centered, we become self-centered. Now, just think for a moment about our wonderful children or grandchildren or nephews and nieces, whatever the case is for you. It doesn't take long for us to realize that the little idol of our parental eye, that bundle of love, smiles and innocence, had its own way of announcing its independence. We don't have to teach children to start running the other way when mum and dad calls, or to stamp their feet in defiance, or scream in rebellion in the middle of the shopping centre. It's not something that children have to learn. Have you noticed that? They just seem to do it. Strange that. There is an inner problem. And it comes very naturally. Like it or not, we're all born with a self-centered nature. And for many of us, this independence is reinforced by our rugged cultural individualism, best described as doing my own thing, getting my own way, or standing up for my own rights. It is popular these days to talk about self-worth, self-expression, self-interest, self-esteem. Now, while there is good in all these things and issues that need addressing, we have become obsessed about talking about ourselves. Yes, talk to someone about themselves and they will listen for hours. The Bible makes it clear that we are lovers of self rather than lovers of God. The truth is, the love of self gets in the way of loving God. Yes, we are encouraged to love ourselves. We're told that unless people love themselves, they cannot love other people. That's what Jesus said. Love your neighbor as yourself. This means that we should care for others in the same way as we care for ourselves. Now, Paul puts it rather challenging to husbands like this. He who loves his wife loves himself. The truth is, a healthy view of who we are will result in healthy relationships. The Bible is clear that as Christians, our identity is in Christ. Our focus is Christward. It is towards Jesus. We live in an age that is preoccupied with rights rather than responsibilities. We have human rights, gay rights, animal rights, women's rights, children's rights, rights of the unemployed, land rights, just to mention a few. And they all address real concerns, issues that need working on and adjusting in the way in which we behave to one another. But it also highlights the drive people have to get what they think is theirs. Now, such thinking, if it loses sight of the bigger picture and the collective needs of others, could bring about the destruction of democracy. You see, the democratic society isn't built on seeking rights, but cooperation and responsibilities. Or as President Kennedy famously said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what? See, you know that one well. Individualism has become a virtue, and the rugged individual an idol. That's why I put this other man there. From
me too to we
too. Yeah, me too to we too. Same idea lying there, isn't it? The problem is not being an individual, because God lovingly created each of us unique. In fact, I think it's a pretty good idea that he did that. I'd hate to live with me and you. It's much better living with you being you. I suppose we might have less troubles, although the amount of arguments I might have with myself probably would mean that arguments wouldn't improve. Now, the problem arises in all this is when we add ism to the word. So it becomes an ideology. Individual becomes individualism. Capital becomes capitalism. Human becomes humanism. Material becomes materialism. And nation becomes nationalism, and so on. God loves individuals, but not individualism. Brian Hathaway says, our society is becoming unhinged. We're intensely self-centered and competitive. And if we all embrace the ideology of individualism, then the weak will become the prey of the strong, and we will return to the rule of the jungle. The Bible talks about the heart as the center of our affections, motives, thoughts, and attitudes. It is also called the old self, the old nature. We read that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We are told to put off the old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires. We have an incredible capacity to deceive ourselves. Why is it that so many Christians cannot get on together? It is a total contradiction of what the gospel is about. I knew of two sisters who had a falling out. They came to church every Sunday together, often sat in the same pew together, knelt together at communion rail, but never talked to one another. Sorry, it's about two other sisters I heard of were about to say put a white line right through their house. It got really interesting in the kitchen. Why is it that we want to do our own thing and find it difficult when someone else has a different opinion. These problems are rooted in our sinful nature and our egos and self-interest. It is evidence that Jesus has got more work to do in us if we invite him. Now, I understand this because, you know, I'm still somewhere back down the track. I'm working this stuff out. I struggle with it. And so here's some things to think about. Maybe next time you're struggling, ask yourself some of these sorts of questions. Why am I feeling this way? Why am I doing these things? Is this separating or uniting people? Whose success am I seeking? Is what I'm saying or doing causing division? Am I putting the wedge in or am I taking it out? The answers I give to these questions will show me the nature of the problem. I've discovered that doing this is the first step in sorting things out. Knowing that I struggle with self-centeredness and understanding that this affects my relationships helps me to find a better outcome. Helps me to really begin to look to Jesus and take my responsibility for my part in the relationship dilemma. I'll do it my way should not be part of our vocabulary. It's a great song, but it's kind of questionable, really, because it's about actually seeking each other. You see, each one of us, and you've heard me say this, and I'm just going to keep on saying it because we're so slow at learning it. Each one of us is gifted so uniquely different to do what? Complement one another. And some of us are a challenge and some are challenging. Probably all of us are challenging at times. Don't answer that, Kay. Because that is just part of being human, fallen nature. And yet out of this we need to stand alongside one another. And when someone is struggling, actually that's an opportunity not only for grace, is it? But also to offer strength and become strong. Sometimes people say, I can't pray. Well, that's the point about I need to step in the gap, don't I? And start praying for them and with them until they come to that point where they can do. And sometimes we're just had a BB day. And we need to respect that in one another and not judge one another and journey the journey with them as they come to the place of health and life. It's what Jesus had in mind when he gave us John 17. Now you might say, well, I'm going to fail at this. Maybe there's something that alcoholics can teach us. Is that when they blow it, they then, what do? They then say, right, I've got to get back, and I've got to, this is a new day, and I'm going to start it again, and I'm going to pursue it on from here. Is that right? And that's what we need to do in other relationships. When it falls down, don't beat ourselves up, because that actually tends to fire the confusion again. But finding the place of saying, okay, I'm sorry, I did that. If they'll accept the apology, that's great. If they don't accept the apology, well, offer it. You can't determine their reaction. You can only deal with your reaction and ask the grace to go on. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that in this life you understand us better than ourselves, and you've given us your Holy Spirit in order to strengthen us where we are weak. Help us, Lord, to find the pathways forward in our relationship struggles, that the beauty and the wonder of Jesus may be seen more and more, that the life you meant for us will be the one that we can see. And Lord, when we blow it, when we don't work it out right, when we have to start again, thank you that your promise of forgiveness is there. And help us, Lord, as we live with the consequences, to press on, that the life of Jesus would again be seen in us for your glory and for our wholeness. In Jesus' name, amen.